It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. And I have a guest, and he has his own intro.
It's me, dear friend. Alive and kicking. Well, alive anyway.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff. Oh, you roll.
Yes! Yes!
Awesome!
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, be counted.
It's not a film sociology
it's
if
not
I don't
hard.
Do a foot joke.
Well, I can see where it'd be difficult for a man of your stature to keep in touch with even half the people you know. You know, beautiful women, they encourage you one minute and cut the legs out from under you the next.
I'm not half the man I used to be.
Wow. Why is it that the guy in the wheelchair gets a film called The Sitter?
Richard Probst is here.
Yes!
How are you, man?
They've been anxiously awaiting my return.
Who has?
I don't know. Your
management.
13 listeners.
Yeah, I know. Stop that. There's more than that. Anyway.
Half of them.
Hey, this.
Don't
you know what?
Beat.
This
what?
This 13 you can actually hear in Indianapolis.
Oh.
I know. A little humor there.
Wow.
Hey, I do have to do actually not one, but two corrections I need to do in lieu of last week's show.
Uh-oh.
If you'll allow
me. You made
me.
Mistakes.
It happens from time to time, and of course we try to fess up to them.
Wow.
But and these are legitimately just bad parts on mine as a host and a producer. This is why I need a producer again. I don't like doing both jobs.
Okay.
Last week the film Unlocked. Remember if you combined I think a Bourne film with slightly more editing.
Uh-huh.
The star of that film is Noomi Rapace, not Rooney Mara.
Wow.
So there's
that's fairly huge.
I got the other woman with the dragon
one
speaks tattoo
English.
And one is Swedish. So so sorry about that. And then Robert Muggy, the documentary filmmaker who I had on the show last week, he had his Ball State Endowment chair appointment ran for 5 years. I think I said four.
Oh, wow.
So now we're caught up.
He didn't correct you?
He corrected me after he heard the podcast.
Oh, okay.
No, I intro'd him. It was a recorded chat. So,
oh, that's right.
And then we just kind of... Anyway, so okay. But he sent me a nice note and just had one minor quibble. He wants to be on the show still, so there.
Ugh.
And we let you on the show still, so
no,
there.
Exactly. I'm amazed you keep having me back.
Well, I haven't been through... You haven't been thrown out
yet.
You
have a disability quota, don't you?
Moving on, ladies and gentlemen. And it's funny because there's a number of things opening, but there's one film that Richard and I both saw separately, and it's a film that tackles a subject that we have talked about at times on this program. We have talked about when you have a faith-based film, what makes it interesting if you make it challenging for the choir instead of preaching to the choir.
Absolutely.
And there's a film opening in town this weekend called The Good Catholic. Shot in Bloomington.
It was.
Shout out to South Central Indiana getting some representation. First Columbus, and now this. And I believe Danny Glover spoke at IU, at IU Cinema, John Vickers for this. But it's a story of a young priest, I think if I remember right, he's been at it for about a year. But he's also had to deal with the death of his father. We find out he gives the last rites to his dad. Mm-hmm. He has the elder priest, played by Danny Glover. He has the comedic sidekick priest, played by John C. McGinley. And while he is going through his daily priest routines, he also has strikes up a friendship with a woman who may or may not be dying, but she's very sarcastic, and she has a friendship that has a bit of a gray area. This is a film that could also be called Doubt, if you wanted to.
That's good.
But, yeah, so this is the film, and it was shot, like I said, it was shot in Bloomington, and it tackles a few gray areas that I would say that Kirk Cameron does not. But Richard, you're the guest.
And it's possibly more entertaining.
Definitely more entertaining. Intentionally entertaining.
Well, yeah. Sorry. This guy can act.
Right. That's Zachary Spicer, who I had to look up.
Ren
Schmidt, who's another one. If you go to IMDb, you're like, oh, they were in this and they
were
in that.
She has a great voice.
Yeah, she's this kind of...
I thought of you because I thought she sounded like a blues singer. And she's a musician in the film.
She does. And what is really fun, kind of like Columbus, is if you know the location, it's fun to watch them shoot in on the campus of IU and surrounding areas in Bloomington. So, but anyway, Richard, you're the guest. You're also Mr. Tenderness Tour.
That's me.
24/7, 365, although not at the moment. But Richard, your thoughts on The Good Catholic?
You know, it was one of those films, and we should mention that it's executive produced by David Anspaugh.
Yes, yes, for you fans of Hoosiers and Rudy.
Yeah, did Hoosiers and Rudy, and on the lesser note, maybe The Little Red Wagon.
Okay.
You know, this was a film that I really wanted to love. You know, I like David Anspaugh's approach, and I know he wasn't the director, but it's kind of got his fingerprints on it, you know, in terms of it being this kind of pro-humanity, feel-good, family-friendly thing. That's what I would call it. I would call
it's
it a thing.
A thing. It's Richard a thing. Richard Probst of the Independent Critic calls The Good Catholic a thing. I don't think that's going to be in the ad campaign.
No, it was one of those films that from the opening moments, I wanted to love it, and yet it just kept making really timid choices.
Okay.
You know, I thought there was so much. First of all, it's being marketed as a romantic comedy.
That's a bad move. That's so not. And the thing is, the fact that you have a priest who is striking up a friendship with a female, basically.
Yes.
And
she's basically a female?
No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I meant. Sorry. Richard's also a wordsmith, and he catches me when I make bad word choices. But, yeah, that's not what this film is. It's
exactly
a part of it.
Yeah.
But we have a young priest who is still trying to get, I think, his bearings on his day-to-day routine, as well as still dealing with the death of his father. And then he has a difficult person in his life that's making him think about certain aspects of his faith and his ideas.
Exactly.
So that's what it is. It's not a rom-com.
It's not a rom-com.
Are they using Peter Gabriel ballads while it's playing? It's like when somebody did on YouTube they did a trailer for The Shining as if it was a romantic comedy using that Peter Gabriel. Anyway, but yeah, it's not that, and it's not The Thornbirds. It's not Monsignor, where you take a serious affair between a priest and a woman.
Exactly.
But it's not a rom-com either. So I'm wondering now. I wound up liking it a little more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a few, and I think I appreciate it because moments happen that you and I have talked about that should happen in quote unquote faith-based films. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mention family-friendly, rom-com, but it's not. Yeah. But you have, within the first scene, you have an S-bomb dropped. And you have this is a film that has an F-bomb dropped. So I'm very picky about words. I don't think words should hurt. I don't think words hurt. Certain words don't hurt people. And, of course, I think the MPAA is completely flawed about its aspect of it. And I don't know what the rating for this film is. I'm not sure if
it was unrated.
Okay, well, that works. But, it says PG-13.
Oh, is it?
Well, according to IMDb. So
they're never wrong.
For language including a sexual reference.
Oh, no.
And there is one F-bomb dropped in it.
There's a sexual reference? How'd I miss that?
Well, that's the F word, I think.
Oh.
That one.
That's a sexual reference?
Moving on.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
But
I learn something new on this show every time.
Well, your pledge dollars at work. So there is that. And this is stuff that's happening in a confessional.
True.
There is this friendship, and the young priest is starting to, not I don't know if he's having doubts or if he's wavering, but he's being a human.
Are priests allowed to do that in real life?
Some parishes, yes.
Yes, okay.
Some congregations, yes. Okay. Not always. But so anyway, there's little steps that are taken, and without giving away too much, I think there's a bit of an ambiguous ending. Sort
That's
of.
True. Yeah.
It does not. You are not spoon fed the ending.
That's true.
So I have to give it props for that.
A little melodramatic.
Especially
the slow-mo.
And the symbol. Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism. This young priest likes to jog. He likes to run.
Yes.
So there is a lot of that.
Yes.
Running is a metaphor. And also, I look at it on paper, I think there's a lot of aspects of this film that could beat you over the head with it. And there's a great example of Danny Glover's character. Danny Glover really underplays it as the elder priest
who is
the most traditional in the three priests in this film.
Absolutely.
And he's
the disciplined one.
He is the disciplined one, and there is a really uncomfortable dinner scene with three priests and the woman, and it's not a joke.
No. It's not a joke.
But he really underplays
it. It's probably the best scene in the film. I mean,
because it's finally, how do we address this?
Yeah.
And
it feels authentic.
Yep.
I mean, it does.
So if you're a fan of squirm humor, then you're going to enjoy this. And kudos to John C. McGinley, who plays the comic relief of a priest who loves IU basketball and bad food and likes messing with people. There's a scene in a choir where I'm still not sure if that's actually him beatboxing or not, but there is, he is the, If I kept thinking of an odd comparison of Platoon, of Charlie Sheen's character being torn between the two sergeants of Tom Berenger and Willem Dafoe, and that's kind of what this priest is going through. He's torn between Danny Glover and John C. McGinley, one who is more traditional and disciplined, the other who is looser and more fun. This is the guy who would have the kid's mass. You know, this is the McGinley character is one you would want to go and have confession with and go ahead. You got a better chance having a beer with him.
And
watching
that's one of
a
his
game.
Character's themes in the film.
Yes.
Is that, you know, he's accompanying someone who is going through hospice.
And so there is, but yeah, so he is, yeah, he's kind of the comic relief, but there is a couple more, yeah, dealing, going into with a person who's
Which
dying.
Which, again, I thought was really neat because it showed, you know, he's kind of the priest who is like the younger priest, but absolutely committed to his vows.
Yes.
Which I thought was very cool. And McGinley, I think, is incredible in this film.
He's very funny. And I know he's been pigeonholed as the sarcastic smart aleck till the end of time. That's going to be his thing.
That's going to be him. And he adds a layer of emotion that I think is really cool.
He does, especially with the scene in the hospital and in the aftermath of that. So overall, it sounds like, I mean, you're a little disappointed by it.
It wasn't as great. I don't think it went well. If you know the real story, okay, it's based on the director's real parents.
Okay. So, that I didn't know.
Yes, it's based on his real parents. And so, but they've changed some key aspects to the characters. And so it could have gone into so much more. And again, I think directing it as a rom-com was just a mistake. I think that's the weakest part of the film. And I think it sets up an expectation that is never really met. You know? But overall, I mean, I still enjoyed it. I didn't regret spending, what was it, 90 minutes with it.
Yep. I wondered if it could have been maybe a little shorter.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm like, most films should be 70 minutes of my and that's not a slight on The Good Catholic. I think you could probably I mean, there's some montages and there's some slow-mo stuff, as you mentioned.
That's a slight on your attention span.
Yeah, you could trim the fat on that a little bit. But, no, I did enjoy it.
Hey, you could take out the rom-com.
Okay, so then you would have the confessional scene with her and going to the music club. Anyway,
but
I have to give it's not a great film. I think it's a good film, and I have to give the film props for actually for being a faith-based PG-13 film. So
exactly.
It can happen.
That,
guess,
you know,
what?
Didn't disrespect the faith.
No, absolutely not. There are no wacky. Well, except for maybe John C. McGinley, there are no wacky priest shenanigans going on.
He's a Franciscan priest. I mean,
right.
It wasn't that far from the truth. I mean,
and he loves IU basketball, so there's that.
You know, he's yeah.
But yeah, it's not a.
I want a movie with him.
It's not a Farrelly Brothers. That is.
Can we have a sequel?
Maybe if enough people see it. So anyway,
go see it.
It's not Kirk Cameron. It's not the straight. You know, it's not Left Behind or any of that stuff. It's a faith-based film that takes small steps in challenging an audience.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will have a film that has big steps in challenging an audience.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Anyway, so it's there. It's opening. And, you know, apparently it's been a slow fall, and apparently it's supposed to pick up as far as box office numbers. But I guess the lines are going to be bigger for the other film that you're going to talk about.
And the filmmaking team behind this film also, they intend to shoot other films in Indiana.
We like that.
So, you know, Indiana does not offer the tax credit yet, I don't think.
No.
So, you know, we need to take this. I mean, it gives us something to build on. You know, those of us who love the film industry here in Indiana, we need to support it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you have not one, but two films in theaters right now shot in Indiana. Columbus The Good Catholic. And Columbus, you saw Columbus?
I did see Columbus.
I really like that
film.
It's
in my top 10.
Is it really?
It is. I loved Columbus.
Now I should say this is also before we hit grown-up movie season, but I think it's we get the Oscar contenders in the last couple months. I think it's probably if I were to do or as Abdul calls it, the JV list. If I did the JV list, it's probably on the JV.
Yeah, it may not
JV
make
squad.
My top 10,
but
right now
it is
it's right now.
September. But
most everything else people have loved, I've not been fond of this year. You know, the Dunkirks, the Detroits.
You're like that every year.
I'm a hater. That's why you have me on the show.
I thought I was the hater. According to Bianca, I'm the hater.
Really?
Well, maybe. Has Bianca done
I'm
a show with you?
Now.
Did Bianca do a show with you?
She has.
Okay, so, wow.
I must have been on my best behavior.
Because there was a lady here.
That may be.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm respectful.
We'll let that
I'm respectful
again.
Like that. Yeah. I almost said that with a straight face.
He said that with a straight face, folks. okay.
What?
Well, so, yeah, anyway, there's those two films out there, Columbus, and I think The Onion wrote it, and I'm sure other people have, where you always hear the cliche that the character, you know, the location is the character in the film itself, and at times Columbus feels like a PSA for the Columbus Tourism Board. But it reminds you, there's some beautiful stuff to see there.
Columbus is a beautiful city.
It really is.
It's a character. It's just, I love going there.
And you had an underplayed story of two lost souls.
They had the Scottish Festival Is that this weekend?
Well, I thought the Irish Festival is here next weekend.
Oh,
don't do that. Don't do that.
I know. I'm trying to see if I can get you some hate mail.
Okay. No, I don't need that.
Okay.
I have enough on my own. But anyways, but it's a, you know, two lost souls connecting, and it's not lost in translation, and it also does not go down a rom-com path.
Yeah.
It's an underplayed picture as
Fortunately, because that would have been kind of creepy.
That would have been,
honest.
Well, he's not that old.
Well, he's a lot older than her. I mean, she looks like she's in, like, junior high. Okay, I'm exaggerating.
You're slightly exaggerating.
I want to make a point. Okay.
Yeah, I noted. Okay, shifting gears.
Okay.
We've gone from, now here, I don't recommend it as a double feature, The Good Catholic, and then It. But
it's another rom-com.
It is opening in theaters, and apparently red balloons have been tied to sewer drains all over the country this week in celebration of a feature film version of the Stephen King horror classic that was made into a TV miniseries.
They should have had that German singer Nena.
99 Luftballons?
Yeah.
German or English? Doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
People would have gotten the point.
But yeah, a group of kids. So from what I've been told, I've not seen this, but Richard has seen this.
You haven't
basically
seen it?
No, I've been in rehearsal. The first half of the film, the first half of the book is represented in this film that is opening this weekend. Is
correct.
That, okay. So a bunch of kids scared out of their wits for Pennywise. A demonic form in that comes in the shape of a clown, everybody's favorite. Not played by Tim Curry, but played by...
Which is kind of sad.
Well, Tim's not able.
Don't be knocking the disabled in front of me, dude.
I said he's not able.
I would make a great clown.
You are a clown. But no, Tim Curry had a cameo as the narrator in the last Rocky Horror Live.
He did.
He was so great. Anyway, Richard, your clown on wheels. Your thoughts on it?
It's been interesting to watch social media, and I did not see the promo. You know, I was like the normal folks, and I actually went to the theater to see it.
Uh-huh.
You've got the people, the Stephen King purists, who aren't completely thrilled with it.
Because and they're still ticked off over Dark Tower, apparently.
Exactly.
Not been a good fall for King freaks.
And then you get the people who, you know, wanted a straight horror film, and let's face it, if you had stuck completely to it, you could have easily turned it into a straight horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of got these sides doing this battle. And, I thought that it was a good film. I think it missed the opportunity to be a great film. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Okay.
I honestly expected to go in and be a little bit jaded by it. I agree with some of the criticisms I've heard that, you know, some of the jump scares get a little bit old. I think there's some continuity issues. I think that there are, I really liked the dynamics of, I guess some people are trying to compare it to Stand By Me, you know, with this group of young boys.
Also written by King.
Exactly.
And the fact that I know the other aspect is this is set, the flashbacks, the kid era is set in the 80s instead of the 50s.
Yeah.
So especially if they want to add a 50s aspect with Stand By Me.
Yeah. Where I think it kind of goes a little bit wrong is that one of the things that I've always admired about Stephen King as a writer is that I think he gets kind of the culture of childhood really. He just nails it.
Okay.
In his writing. And I think that that's something that's not really consistent in the film.
Would you say childhood and adolescence? I think of Stand By Me, Christine,
yeah.
Carrie,
yeah.
Obviously the kids in It.
I mean, I think that he gets the idea of life transitions. I think he gets the innocence. I think he gets the fear, the horror, and the fact that it all sort of coexists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all part of that experience.
You mentioned Stand By Me. Is there a lot of scenes of this gaggle of kids bonding?
Oh.
Or are they on the run the entire time?
They're definitely not on the run the entire... You definitely kind of get some Stand By Me feelings. But it's an entirely different, I guess you could say, beast. Yeah, thank you very much. I don't think it's reasonable to expect it to be those things. I mean, if you know this story, and I'll admit I've read it, but it's been quite a while since I've read the book.
All 650 pages.
Exactly. Like you, I'm sorry,
obligatory Stephen King jokes. That's just, 60 pages to describe this phone. Sorry, go on.
It's true. But, I mean, that's part of how he builds kind of an entire culture. And I think that people who love him, I mean, that's what they love. They love that he devotes that kind of minute detail to his stories. And obviously, you can't do that in a film.
No.
I mean,
even if you make it a two-parter, which sounds like that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. At times, it feels like this is... kind of the same issue I had with Detroit. It feels like a film that's kind of from the child's perspective, but it's still obvious that you have, the adult director, the adult writer, and it feels filtered, I guess.
Okay.
It actually, in some ways, bothered me in the same way that The Good Catholic did, because it feels at times like it's kind of timid. And...
I think it could have delved into it a lot deeper. I don't think that the director really, even though from what I've read, Stephen King is happy with this film, I just don't feel like it gels together in the same way. And so I think that anybody who really wants to experience that same feeling that they had when they read it, they're probably not going to get that. But if you can kind of set aside that expectation, I think you'll come away happy with the film.
Now, my other snarky thing is it's called film sociology, not novel sociology or book sociology. So and I've only read a handful of King novels. It wasn't one of them. So I'm not bothered about the adaptation just yet. Just like I wasn't bothered about The Dark Tower, which I still need to see, and so I have nothing.
You can't
nothing
really
to guide
be bothered
on.
By it if you haven't seen it,
right? So that's but I mean, I knew King heads who were dreading, especially when they heard that Dark Tower is only an hour and a half, and they thought maybe this is the one that should have been made into a two-parter. Anyway, it's
and even sitting in my house, you know, this afternoon, I was watching a conversation going on between IFJA members.
I read that similar one as well. Yes, somebody who's there's somebody in our group who we adore who horror is not his favorite genre.
Yeah,
and there was a little bit of reality in the genre, reality in the story, I guess.
Correct.
Was brought up. So,
and it was interesting to see everybody's perspective on it, you know, including one other writer who didn't particularly care for the film but was defending it.
Sure.
And it was just, I think that there's going to be a lot of that. I think that there's a lot of things to take away from the film. I think, who is it, William Skarsgård is Pennywise? Is it William?
I'm checking. Right. I was going to say Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah,
yes.
Bill, William, I'm not on a first name basis with him, I have to call him William.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's very good in it. I really liked him. I really liked the makeup. I don't think anybody will ever replace Tim Curry for me.
That's hard.
I think Tim Curry was brilliant. Tim Curry did the television version of this story, and I think he was brilliant in it. I think Skarsgård is good in it. I think the kids are incredibly good in it. I mean, this is a film that I think anybody who has a traumatic childhood, I think there's going to...
One way, shape, or form can relate.
You're going to relate to it. I think that there's a really wonderful balance of reality and supernatural, and that they all kind of gel together. And I really thought I was going to be disappointed by the film, and I wasn't. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Okay. And the film is directed by Andy Muschietti. Who's
very good.
He did the original. Well, he did his own remake of the film Mama, which I remember from Jessica.
Wasn't that a Genesis video?
No, that was this was the 2013 Jessica Chastain, which I remember liking.
I remember that
more than I thought I would. So anyway, that is happening there. I went up to IMDb and I saw nothing for it to being in development or anything like that. But I'm sure that will happen eventually.
I'm sure that will happen.
So I'll be intrigued to see.
Unless this completely bombs.
But I got a feeling it isn't, because it's not really up against anything. I know also opening this week.
It's been a really slow ball.
Yes, we also have opening Home Again, which I believe Nancy Meyer is producing but is not directing.
Wow.
And they've been pushing this from the creator of The Intern. It's complicated. Something's got to give.
So, like, 20 people are going to go see it.
No, there'll be a few. I think wives and girlfriends who do not want to see it are going to drag the significant others to home again.
If you love your boyfriend, you'll go see it. So. If not, your relationship is kind of really not worthy.
There you go. That is opening.
Home Again. Okay.
Hallie Mayer Shire is doing that, not Nancy Meyer. So was that the only thing opening this weekend? Those are the only two?
I know Crown Heights.
Oh, Crown Heights. And you did arrived. Or didn't?
I have seen that.
So tell us about it.
I don't really remember a whole lot. I know it's based on...
I have the info right here.
I have the info.
A man devotes his life to proving that his best friend is innocent of
That's
murder
right.
in this 1980 shooting in Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Lakeith Stanfield.
There you go.
Gives a remarkable performance in the film. I don't remember who was the friend. It's a...
Okay.
This is testing you, isn't it?
Namdi Asumuga. Sorry. I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry. If you're listening...
Send me a sense,
but we just can't say your name.
So it's best friend trying to get guy getting best trying to get best friend exonerated.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those cases where you know you have someone who was convicted of a killing. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Police kind of used scare tactics to kind of drum up some witnesses
of a Detroit level.
Well,
not as long, not as dragged out as Detroit.
Well, yeah, not quite as brutal. This film doesn't really focus on the act or the violence. It, you know, the good majority of the film focuses on his life in prison. You know, he gets married while he's in prison, and all of the ways that his life is impacted by it. You know, and what I think is, it's a remarkable story of friendship. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, this friend who spent pretty much his entire adult life compromising his marriage, spending thousands of dollars trying to get his friend, whom he truly believed was not guilty, and then he finally gets a lawyer to take the case. And it's a really well done film. I had some structural issues with the film itself, but Lakeith Stanfield, who if you saw Get Out, Lakeith Stanfield was
he the lead?
I believe he was the lead. Yes.
I'm going to look that up.
Let's make sure we're not wrong, because I don't want you have to correct anything next week.
Or I'll correct it now, but keep going. You're doing great.
But it was just both of them were really good performances. This was a very character-driven film. It was a film that surprised me a lot, and it's certainly in this kind of time when we're dealing with these kinds of issues, I think it's a very meaningful film, and it's a story that I don't think a lot of people knew about. So it was a pleasant surprise. You know, sometimes when they send you an email saying, "Hey, will you watch this film that's opening up in one or two theaters?" you don't know what to expect, and this is a gem. And I believe it's at Landmark.
Yep. And Lakeith played he played Andrew in
Okay,
Get Out.
That's right.
So,
okay,
there you go. You got it.
So,
and then while we're at it,
I think Lakeith is really proving himself as one of our up and coming actors.
Okay,
I mean, because this is an entirely different type of performance.
Yep.
And it's just a really remarkable performance. So. He's now somebody that I really want to keep watching and see where he goes.
Yeah. Very cool. So there you go, folks. You got three options of three completely different style films.
It's a great weekend.
It is a great weekend.
You should go to a movie.
That you deserve it.
So. I think so.
All right. So
don't go to Home Again.
Well, you didn't see it.
I know.
That's okay. shifting gears a little bit. Let's see what's at the drive-in.
What's at the drive-in?
Okay. Here we go. Oh yeah, that makes sense. At the Tibbs. Yep.
I love Tibbs.
You have, they call him Mr. Tibbs.
I love that movie.
You have
He should be their spokesperson.
What, for the Tibbs drive-in?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
They should call it the Mr. Tibbs drive-in.
They know where I am. You got to give Mr. Pontier money on that one. All right, on screen one, of course, It and Annabelle Creation.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's
there
a good
go.
Double bill.
Screen two, Logan Lucky and Baby Driver.
That's a good combo,
too. That's pretty good. Cars and silly stuff. Screen three, The Hitman's Bodyguard and Kidnap.
That's the screen you skip. Okay.
Screen four. Wow, okay. This is both, they're both around. Leap and The Nut Job 2.
Wow.
Did anybody see Leap in the IFJA?
I've seen Leap.
Did you? Did
yeah,
you like it?
I actually did like Leap.
Okay.
I like ballet. I would be great at ballet.
There's animated ballet in this?
There's animated ballet.
I see.
And actually, I went to the screening, and I will say this, since you obviously haven't covered Leap appropriately.
I have not.
I don't know how you can call yourself a film critic and not cover Leap.
I'm not half the critic I used to be.
Me neither.
There it is. Oh, you know, yes. That's a record. I think it's 34 minutes into the show and
without
35 minutes.
Reference.
And
okay.
Now we did it. Okay.
Okay.
I set you up on that one.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, but after this screening, it was really cool because, first of all, it's a quieter children's film. You know, it's a Weinstein Company animated film.
So there's no pop culture references and
hit
music?
There's no pop culture. And, there's a couple things that are thrown in there. But it's a quieter film, no special effects.
Kid Who Wants to Dance, basically. So it was what, Billy Elliot?
It's a woman who wants to dance.
A woman who wants
to dance. Not a woman. A young girl who wants to dance. And escapes from an orphanage to go to, you know, the French observatory for ballet and...
Or conservatory.
Conservatory, thank you. Observatory, you know.
I like that. You dance, but you're looking into the stars. Like.
Well, it's funny because her boyfriend...
Technically.
Technically, though there's a little flirtation, you know, teenage flirtation.
Right.
He's an inventor.
Oh, that explains the poster.
So there is a science angle.
He's created wings.
He does.
He's not.
I think you've actually seen the film.
I've seen the trailer.
Or it's just that predictable. It could be either one of those.
But you enjoyed it.
But by the end of the film, kids, boys and girls, were dancing in the aisle.
Really?
In the closing credits.
Where was this?
And they were doing ballet.
Was this one of those Saturday morning 11 a.m. screenings?
Yes, it was.
And it was full.
It was full.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it was close to full.
Okay.
And it was really cool. And they had sat still the entire screening, you know, because usually you hear the fidgeting and the crying.
Film critics fear the 11 a.m. Saturday screenings because it is not for us. We are invited. We appreciate that.
Yes.
But it's not like film critics are spoiled because we get the morning screenings with nobody.
Exactly.
You know, a representative and you know, some of the usual suspects. But it's really us, and we really like that because we know the knuckleheads. It's us.
Yeah.
There are no outside knuckleheads making the screening experience miserable with their phones and their talking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so the Saturday 11 a.m. screenings... It's their world. We're just visiting. Cannot, as a critic, you cannot shush the majority of the audience as much as you would like to.
And these screenings are almost always child friendly. I mean,
they're not showing it at Saturday.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's geared toward the kids, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you have, I mean, all sizes. You have people that will bring every kid from 6 months and younger to, you know, whatever. So. Yeah. The audience can give you various degrees of response, whether it's of the film or just being a young one, being fussy, being crabby, being tired, being crying.
Yeah.
So
it's what you expect. I mean, it's not I don't think it's a bad thing. It's part of
you got to get them in.
It helps me because as a critic, you know, you pay attention to what the audience response is.
At least I try not to.
I do.
You've never seen a film where everybody enjoyed it and you just went, it's garbage.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, sometimes the audience is wrong, but... But, you know, with a kid's film...
They really dug it.
I like seeing how they respond to it. And with Leap, I mean, you could just tell they were into it. And I think even though it's kind of old school animation, I enjoyed it a lot.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the film to take the kids to... Don't take them to It.
Don't take them to It.
There are those parents out there.
Yes. It does not Stand By Me.
Get a babysitter. And, you know, I wouldn't even take a little kid to Stand By Me anyway. I need to revisit Stand By Me.
What about Emma?
I have to check in with her. No, she does not care about It.
Okay.
I would have to ask her about Stand By Me. I need to revisit Stand By Me.
She's more mature than I'll ever be.
And me, too. because I didn't see it when it first came out. And I probably should have, but there was a part of me that thought I was not a fan of the John Hughes suburban fairy tales.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
You're weird.
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Outsiders, Rumblefish, Tex. You know, so the three films based on works by S.E. Hinton those resonated with me more than the John Hughes suburban fantasy fairy tales.
Wow.
So
you don't like Molly Ringwald?
I didn't say that.
That's wrong, dude.
I had a Breakfast Club poster for a while, but I think those films were vastly overrated. And now that I'm older, I think they're even more overrated.
Still have the poster on your wall, though?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Those are long gone. That back in the day when you could get video store posters for almost nothing because
I miss those days.
Yeah, you just kind of is anybody taking it? Or you have to write your name on it. Oh, this one's mine. But anyway, but Stand By Me, I think I was 15, 16 when that film came out. I'm like, I don't need to see whiny 11-year-olds. I already lived through that. Well, it's like my dad. I remember my dad. My dad is a retired doctor. And I was 19 when the film, here he goes.
Wow.
My Left Foot.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And I love, and I heard.
You know that's my left foot.
Is it yours?
It is. I gave my foot for that film.
Daniel Day-Lewis says thank you. But I remember really wanting to see it. I heard great things about this, this Irish actor who's amazing in it. And my father said, son, I've been at the hospital all day. I don't want to see this in my leisure time. And I think I was kind of like that with the high school films while I was in high school.
Wow.
To a lesser degree.
I want to see My Left Foot and Stand By Me together.
Or Hobble By Me.
And maybe Footloose.
Thank
you. Thank you very much.
You know what? You need to do the Richard Probst Film Festival.
I think so.
You need somebody to back you. You need a theater and a corporate sponsor, some shoe company, to sponsor the Probst Fest.
More laughs per square foot.
Thank you. We get the IFJA gets the IFJA gets to be in the front row for this.
Wow.
Tiptoes on it.
I love that.
So yeah, we're gonna work on Probst Fest for next year.
I like this. This has potential.
And proceeds will have to go to a charity that you dig.
That's true.
That way, it's not a complete exploitation. So bad.
Wow.
Welcome to Tasteless Radio here at Film Sociology. Richard Probst here with Matthew Soucy.
We should stress that I really am footless, folks.
And
we are not making fun of the disabled.
No.
I am the disabled, and we are making fun of me.
Yes. So let us keep our jobs. Okay, that's over at the Tibbs. That's the longest we've had talking about the Tibbs Drive-In.
Wow. We love you, Tibbs.
Yes. Over at the Skyline. Oh.
We love the Skyline.
Speaking of which, The Hitman's Bodyguard and The Dark Tower. Okay.
Wow.
And they just showed...
Sorry, I won't be there.
...the film Drive-In last night. Over at IU Cinema, this all, of course, depends on when you're listening to this show. If you're listening on Saturday, you have time to run down and see the National Theater Live production screening of Peter Pan at
3 o'clock.
It
would take me a much longer time to run down.
Well, your arms are in good shape, so
okay.
So long as you're consistent. Cafe Waldorf at 7 o'clock.
Ooh.
Sunday at 3 p.m. Ooh. I love their film series titles. This is a part of Heretics, Revolutionaries, and Reformers. They haven't been banned yet.
Ooh.
At 3 o'clock, 1964's Beckett.
Ooh, I like that.
Richard Burton and Peter O'Toole together. It's a fine film. Two strong performances. And I wish they'd filmed the rap party with Richard Burton and Peter O'Toole there.
Wow.
2017 Endless Poetry at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday the 10th. Monday the 11th, the Eastern Asian film series 2015 drama Tharlo. Thursday, September 14th. Oh, this is cool. Must see this on the big screen. Alain Delon in 1967's Le Samurai.
Wow.
At 7 o'clock. Great French crime drama from the 60s. Friday, September 15th, a second screening has been added for Columbus at 6:30 p.m. And then Same Blood at 9:30 p.m. Same Blood is also being shown Saturday the 16th at 7 p.m. and Mother of Mine at 3 p.m. And second screening has been added for Sunday the 17th. Okay, I am corrected. According to the IU Cinema's calendar, the Danny Glover lecture was canceled on Sunday the 17th. That's
he had to go to confession.
Wow. Richard, send all hate mail to Richard Probst. Care of Richard Probst.
You know, one of the things I love about IU Cinema, though, is they show screenings that are actually, they are worth driving to Bloomington for.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not a long drive from here.
No. I grew up an hour north of Detroit, so I remember going to art house movies in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Ball State, so driving to Indy for movies was not a problem. My first newspaper job, I was an hour's drive from Terre Haute, Lafayette, Champaign-Urbana, and Indy.
Wow.
Because there were no movie theaters. Well, there was one movie theater in Attica. And actually, I'll get to that in a little bit. then I lived about an hour west of Chicago.
Okay.
And I live where I live now. So I'm used to driving for stuff.
Obviously.
For art stuff.
You drive a lot.
I do okay. 15th and 16th at the Artcraft Theater, the historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin.
Franklin.
Now, of course, if you're listening to this on Saturday, At 7:30 tonight, you can go see North by Northwest.
I almost
on the
did
big
that.
Screen. You're going to go see North by Northwest?
No, I was going to, but now I'm going to Ed Sheeran.
I see. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You had that. For those listening, timing. Friday and Saturday, September 15th and 16th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Mary Poppins.
No, thank you.
Wow. And yeah, see Dick Van Dyke and his Cockney accent.
I do like Dick Van Dyke.
Friday and Saturday, September 29th and 30th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Wow.
And then
except we know all the secrets now.
That's true. And then October 6th and 7th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, Frank Capra's Arsenic and Old Lace with Cary Grant. So two Cary Grant films this fall.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Arsenic, I can't remember the last time I saw this. The last time I saw Arsenic, right after Emma was born, Lynn directed it at Beef and Boards.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So that was, here's a little peek into the Soucy household. Let's see, Emma was born in November of 2001. Lynn was directing Arsenic in December, like late December. And at that time, they mounted Arsenic in 9 days.
Wow.
You rehearsed morning, noon, and night. And I was living in the green room with Emma while Lynn was directing. So occasionally, you know, like when Emma was hungry, I'd have to bring her to mom. But was so one of the most impressive things I've ever seen Mrs. Soucy do is direct actors and nurse at the same time.
Oh.
So, but yeah, we went home at night, but I mean, it's just, we lived there for 9 days.
I don't even have any happened. Jokes about that. That's pretty awesome.
Because she's, my ladies were amazing. So anyway, that is at the Historic Art Craft Theater. So
that's
go
a great theater,
that,
too.
That
and
is
again,
so
it's
much
close.
Fun.
Franklin is an easy drive.
And it's and now we're getting into autumn, and you'll get the leaves and autumn leaves.
It's,
and
a,
all that.
It's a great thing.
There
it,
you go.
Go.
Okay. Moving to the video store.
Okay.
Not a lot. So I was going to ask, because I wound up not seeing any of these, so did you see Megan Levy?
Yes.
The soldier, the female soldier with the dog film.
And, you know, it's actually, again, it's better than you might expect. As I recall, it won the Truly Moving Picture Award.
As I say, this sounds like Truly Moving Pictures.
Yes.
That's not a slight, it's just fact. And when you're a film critic in Indiana, you hear plots, and you're like, is that a Truly Moving Picture?
That's a Truly, yeah.
So their brand works.
Exactly. I mean, I love the Heartland Film Festival.
And that's coming up. That's coming up soon.
In October.
Yes. So, but what is the story of Megan Levy?
You know, this is a, I mean, you have this woman who's kind of a troubled soldier. I mean, she's kind of on her way out. You know, she's a discipline problem. She gets this dog, which is also a discipline problem.
The odd couple.
Yeah, they're kind of an odd couple. And yet they click, you know, and then you basically have the story of their journey. You know, they get separated. She fights to get the dog back. It's a feel-good story. It's a nicely done. I am drawing a blank on who plays Megan.
I got it. It's Kate Mara.
Thank you.
So she survived the Fantastic Four.
Wow.
Let's see. You have Bradley Whitford's in it. Common, Edie Falco, Will Patton.
Common is in pretty much everything. He is.
But
Common.
He's consistently good.
He is Common though.
Stating the obvious there.
Thank you. That's one way to claim the identity.
So there's that. That's out on video.
I enjoyed the film. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not an Oscar-winning film, but it's a good family film.
So you could see The Good Catholic and this.
Yes. There are no F-bombs in Megan Levy.
It's because John C. McGinley is not in it. No, no, no,
John
no.
C. McGinley actually plays the dog.
He does not, because if there's... Dogs can do things that humans can't, and if McGinley could do that, we'd never see him again. All right, shifting gears. The Tupac Shakur biopic, All Eyes on Me.
I did not see that.
EYEZ. And Rough Night.
What's that?
The Scarlett Johansson, Kate McKinnon. Basically, it was very bad thing. Remember Peter Berg's first
that.
Film?
I think I even saw it, that.
That was a bachelor party gone horribly wrong.
That's
and
right.
now women have a version of this. And it's not Girls Trip, because I don't think anybody dies in Girls Trip.
No, Girls Trip is actually good.
So, no, this is the white girl version of bachelorette party gone horribly wrong.
Has anybody just told Scarlett Johansson that she can't act?
You're going to tell her?
We need to do that. I will tell her.
You know what? Emma's with you on that. I'm a pig. So I'm not going to tell her that.
I'm saying she's not perfectly attractive. She's perfectly fine.
Just not your thing.
I think that's why Ryan dumped her.
Actually, okay, someone let's, who could act. I'm going to shift gears now because this is where I get uncomfortable. I think this is making its Blu-ray debut. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll promote. There's a website called Blu-ray.com. That's where I get the titles of what's coming out on video, what's out on video, what's coming soon on home video. But what happens is they like to repackage things. So sometimes you're like, you look at a title, like, wait, I thought that was already out on Blu-ray. Well, they cleaned it up or they've repackaged it or something like that. So sometimes you have to be a little careful to see. But I think making its Blu-ray debut, and it's kind of a punchline title, but I still think it's a very powerful film. Mm. The 1969 drama, They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Oh, wow.
With Jane Fonda. This was a turning point for Jane Fonda. She was kind of a comedic ingenue, mm-hmm. like Barefoot in the Park, and she had already done Barbarella. Okay. But then she got a really dramatic turn in this as a very cynical participant of a dance marathon during the Depression. Michael Sarrazin's in it, Bruce Dern, Bonnie Bedelia, Gig Young won an Oscar for his supporting role as the MC, and Sidney Pollack directed this, and it's the I compared it to a documentary that came out about a decade ago called Hands on a Hard Body, the contest to win a pickup truck. You have to put your hand on the vehicle. Last person to keep their hand there wins the truck. The extremes that people will do in order to win something. And in this case, these were dance marathons that went on not for days, not for weeks, months.
Wow.
And this was the thing you did, whether it was for fame or the money or both. Push to the extreme. So anyway,
did any horses die in it?
Not telling you. Oh, spoiler man. Alert out of 1969 film. But my buddy Jane Hall, she and I, she worked at the newspaper I did in the western suburbs of Chicago, and she always uses that as a point of films in the 60s and 70s were just depressing. And I think it was also the greatest era because directors had all the power. So anyway, that is on Blu-ray. And if you I would say not a first date film, not a film to watch and then go to sleep. Watch Bob's Burgers or Archer right afterwards. Cleanse your palate. So that is out there as well. We mentioned Ferris Wheat Bianca. We both saw Kobe.
We did.
Producer emeritus.
Different places.
But I saw Kobe and Bianca. And if you know Bianca, Bianca loves period piece films. She loves Gone with the Wind. And I thought of her when I saw the trailers for Tulip Fever, which is kind of come and gone already. But it's a Weinstein period piece film. And so Kobe and I talked about this before he got married of, costume dramas, anything mm-hmm. written by an Austen, Bronte, anything written by anybody Russian, anything by Shakespeare. And I think so all of those are kind of on Kobe's radar on films he doesn't want to see.
Uh-huh.
I think I have to lump into it also almost any film with Alicia Vikander.
Really?
Well, think about it. Except for maybe Ex Machina, but The Danish Girl, this film.
She is so good, though.
She is really good. Absolutely. Okay, maybe not. Maybe Kobe would watch The Man Before Uncle, The Man from Uncle. But she's
so he watched like the worst one of all of them.
But I think she is. I have to go. Oh, that's right. She's going to be Laura Croft next, so Kobe will see that. But she was in Jason Bourne.
Can we have like one non-comic book film, please?
Let's see. Ex Machina, Testament of Youth. That was the other one I thought of with her.
Okay.
Anna Karenina, she was in that. Anyway, but no, she's done other non-costume dramas,
she's amazing.
So, but yeah, she's got a hot streak. But I think I think Kobe's radar just kind of perks up if she's involved in it. So, sorry, Alicia. That's just kind of how our buddy goes. Shifting gears a little bit. So the theater I was talking about in Attica.
Okay.
Attica, this was my first newspaper job in Fountain County. And I revisited a film that I watched while I was at my first newspaper. Not in Attica. Attica has, they have the theater at that time, single screen and the speakers behind the screen. And that was it.
Wow.
And I remember, like the Flintstones played there way too long. Uh-huh. And Pulp Fiction and Natural Born Killers were never going to come to this theater. You had to go to the multiplex in Danville or even Lafayette to go see those pictures, because they will not have that in
they get all the good
family friendly Fountain County.
Yeah,
Bob territory.
Yeah,
but there was a film I remember seeing in Lafayette in 1994, and I remember it because we were talking earlier about kid audiences. Do you remember the film Blown Away? Jeff Bridges, Tommy Lee Jones. It is the bomb film that came out after Speed.
Okay.
Bad timing. That. Bad timing on that. So you have Boston accented Jeff Bridges, Irish accented Tommy Lee Jones. Tempted yet? Mm. You also have Forrest Whitaker, Susie Amos, and
they actually showed that in Attica?
No, they showed this in Lafayette.
Oh, okay.
I remember. I don't remember if they did or not, but I remember also seeing it in a full theater. And there was a couple with a crying baby.
Oh.
They didn't leave for half an hour. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't be those parents.
They were blown away.
Well, they finally got up to leave. And I think I actually said something to the guy.
Wow.
I was like, get a babysitter next time, or now is when you leave. And if I were sitting on the aisle, I think he would have punched me out.
Wow.
But I was sitting in the center. So anyway, but my buddy Laura Jansen was there. We watch bad movies a lot.
It's hard to picture you actually saying something.
I was 24 and a knucklehead. Oh, wow. Young knucklehead, not the refined knucklehead that I am now. But
would you say something now?
I've shushed. The last time I shushed somebody, and the last time I got a manager was the remake of Straw Dogs, and the guy stood up. He was considerably taller than I was. He was sitting in the front, that front section, you know, you have at the multiplexes that separates the horizontal aisle.
Yeah.
He stood up and looked at and glared at the audience. There were not that many people. I think he was looking to see who would cower because he stood up in the dark and looked at some, you know.
Ooh.
And so I did not cower. I just kind of looked at the movie.
Wow.
If I made eye contact with him, I think I'd have been in trouble. And if I crumbled like a deck of cards or a house of cards, I probably would have gotten in trouble.
Your first mistake was going to see the Straw Dogs remake.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. You know what? I saw it Friday morning probably because I had nothing else to review that week. If ladies and gentlemen, if you see me at a multiplex Fridays at 10 or 11 a.m. with the old, the unemployed, and the weird, it's because I have nothing to do for the show. I thank you for getting the online screener of The Good Catholic, or else you would have really carried the show today, Probes. Okay, we just got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been revisiting a number of films because my in-laws have given me movies, but I'm going to save that for another time. Probes, you still have the independent critic?
I do still have the. Do I still have the independent?
Are you still the independent critic?
I am still the independent critic, and you can still find me at theindependentcritic.com.
And you will have a tenderness tour TBA.
I will have. You can look up if you want to find out more about the tenderness tour at tendernesstour.com. Basically, what I do is I wheel around the Midwest, traveling by wheelchair, raising money for children's organizations.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively.
So, and don't stick a broomstick in the wheels. That's not cool. No, I haven't. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Richard Probst, always a pleasure.
Absolutely, thank you.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to The Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!